Tenzin. I think it is now either 1 minute or 2 minutes past 10. I'm happy we now correcting. We are ensuring that all the honourable members are finding their way. We thank Ms. Njoko landed just this morning, but she managed to get us here. Thank you very much. Honourable members, you are welcome. Among us, we have the Minister and the Deputy Minister, as always, high powered delegation accompanying the Minister. We have yourselves, Honourable members, people who constitute the Portfolio Committee for Public Works, who ensures that the Minister and the Department account to, on behalf of Parliament, for the work they are doing, how they are using the budget that the Parliament allocate to them to use for the benefit of the people of South Africa. Among us, we also have a big delegation from the city of Tshwane, ensuring that they want to understand how the research unit work in Parliament. They are led by Ines. Almost they've been here for some time now. If you want to stand, they are not all, the team is not all, but these are some of the team members. If you can stand up and the portfolio committee members can see you, lady and gentlemen. Thank you very much. The portfolio committee welcomes you to understand how, as government, we must research. We have one government in South Africa. It is represented in three spheres. The most important sphere is the sphere where you're coming from, the local government. You then have another sphere, provincial government. I didn't say is important. I said the most important is you, and then we have another sphere. This is provincial government. We have 9 of them, and then you have the national government. So there are 2 important spheres, national and local. The other one, for diplomacy, they are important, sake of diplomacy. So you are welcome. So we hope while you are also learning how we go about to do things on research, we are also learning from you. We'll hear from Ines, our researcher. She may copy one thing or two from you. The city of Tshwane is quite an important city in the continent, not only in South Africa. You are welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, members of Parliament, we were granted a special permission to continue with the work of the portfolio because the previous plan of the Parliament didn't have the mini plenaries in the morning. Now they understood that we scheduled ourselves because there was that gap, so they at least honored us. They didn't want to embarrass us and shift our plan. So, but be that as it may, we will take time more than necessary. Where we can finish and join them, we will do that. We will. The main subject is the briefing by the Department of Public Works on its turnaround program to operationalize and ensure the financial sustainability of the Property Management Trading Entity, PMTE. So that's the main subject. But before we get there, we'll look into the minutes of our last portfolio committee meeting. But before we do that, the secretary of the portfolio committee would take us through the apologies, if any, Secretary. Or maybe one thing I didn't do, we always do in Padla when we have visitors, is that the members introduce themselves. Maybe after the apologies, I'll give that opportunity.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone present. I've got two apologies from the Portfolio Committee side. Honourable Thiek and Honourable Sithole will be participating in the mini plenary, so they're not able to make it to this meeting today. And from the Department side, the DG has tendered his apology, and he has also alluded to the fact that Mr. Maroja will be leading the delegation to the Department. Also, Chair, Honourable Sultane has alerted us to the fact that he's also participating in the mini plenary, so he will be out of this room quite soon. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any apologies from the floor? I take it, Minister.
From my side, that the Chair requests to be released after the opening. Otherwise, the officials are going to handle everything in detail.
Thank you very much. My apology. I should have indicated that, Minister, but it's important that we have heard you. Your voice is always loved by people here because you give us the update on what the department is doing. We hear it from the horse's mouth. So thank you very much. Let's go to our minutes. Will do the introduction before you table the reason why we are here. Let's look at the minutes. Honourable members, first page. I'll look into your hands if there's any corrections, anything on the first page. We'll move to the second page. Third page. It seems the minutes are correct, but if there's any obvious grammatical corrections, please, before I sign the minute, it should be corrected. Don't say it because the members are not correcting the grammar. They're looking at the content. So the grammar must always be corrected by staff. Can we then move for the minutes? Any mover for the adoption? Mama Masiela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, members, and the department. I'm moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 8th of May, 2018.
Thank you very much, Segonda. Mr. Rader.
Thank you, Chair. I second the motion.
Thank you very much. I take it that the minutes are now approved as a true record of what transpired on the 8th of May 2018. Thank you very much. We'll then move quickly to the introductions. We'll start with the honorable members of this portfolio, and then after that we'll be handing over to the minister and Mr. Maroja to introduce their team. Mr. Feldane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Mr. Feldane, deployed here by the URIA. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Dennis Ryder, a proud member of this committee and proud Gauteng representative.
Thank you. Thank you.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Adams, and I'm deployed here to this committee by the ANC.
Thank you.
Morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Manuku Masahela, member of this committee, formerly Mpopo Province. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Tsediwe Madloka, from the African National Congress.
Thank you very much. My name is Humphrey Mmemezi. I'm the chair of the committee. I'm deployed by the African National Congress. I'm from Gauteng. So the guys from Botswana, you're welcome once more. Thank you very much. We also have staff that are making us work well. Can we hear your voice, Nola?
Thank you, Chair. The name is Nola Chubotwana, Committee Secretary, PC and Public Works.
Thank you. Ines?
Thank you, Chair. Ines Stephanie, Researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Public Works.
Good morning, everyone. The name is Shoaib Dinesen, Content Advisor to the Committee.
Thank you very much. There's another lady who moves around. She's moved out. Okay, thank you very much. We now hand over to the Minister and the Department. Honorable Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. The Deputy Minister next to me, Jeremy Cronin, and Honorable Members. We have the Acting Head who is going to be leading the presentation of the Property Management Trade Entity. Mr. Jacob Maruha, and who's with next to me, our acting CFO Cox Mukhoro. Now the chairperson is a bit surprised, and I can see the content advisor and are also surprised. Why is Cox all of a sudden acting now? For whatever reason, the CFO has gone back to rural development. But leave that, we have Cox Mukhoro for now. not like that. We also have the DDG. For corporate services, Clive Mchisa. These are the surprises which you are going to get, Chairperson. This is public works. You will see as we continue, there will be a lot of surprises. But it was not a bad one. It was a mutual agreement, you see. And we have Heinz on the buttons. And these are all the other officials who are part of the management of public works, and of course the ministerial staff, they are here. Chairperson, thanks for the opportunity to address the portfolio committee. I'm very mindful of the complexity of the agenda item today, which is about operationalization of the and the financial sustainability of the property management trade entity, and the need to spend sufficient time to get to grips with the process. Fortunately, the committee, or for this committee, I will not be speaking at length, as officials from the property management trade entity, and the operationalization and financial sustainability program, which we call it the OFSP, they are well prepared. Cox has been heading that OFSP, but also now is acting as the CFO after he has been in that position for a very long time. We're not lost. They made excellent presentations to the MINTOP, which is the minister and the top executive. That was done recently, and they clarified a number of issues. And of course, they problematized others. Problematized, yes. I want to emphasize problematized, not problem, or whatever. I just want to, honorable members, to take the long view of this matter of the PMT. This is not something that was dreamed up by the Minister of Public Works. This was a decision of the Cabinet that goes back at least as far as 2005. In the belief that it was essential of Public Works to professionalize and properly control the state massive property portfolio. unfortunately, we all know, it was run like a general department, not as a property portfolio. And the decision was taken by cabinet in 2005. And in 2013, we made the operationalization of the PMTE as one of the centerpieces of the turnaround plan, culminating in the presentation of the business case and a plan to cabinet in 2015. And cabinet bought into the plan. In fact, it significantly enlarged on that plan to propose that the eventual destination must be the creation of a more appropriately named state property management agency, as opposed to the trade entity, which provides no clue as to the specific nature of the business of the entity to be established. My predecessor, I'm not saying the predecessor of the predecessor, I'm saying my predecessor and the department met with the cabinet in 2017 to update them on this operationalization of the PMTA. Again, cabinet gave full support and indeed urged Public Works to redouble its efforts to fully operationalize this. Hence the establishment of the operationalization and the financial sustainability program, which we call the OFSP, which was to develop the necessary business and finance models and processes and supporting the ICT systems. That was very central to the whole thing. And I also ask that honorable members look at the matter of the PMTE as part of a bigger picture. I mean, if you sit with this biggest property portfolio, which has not been properly run for all these years, there's a lot which has to be done to bring it up to scratch. PMTE is not an end in itself. It's a vehicle to leverage the state immovable assets for cost saving, revenue generation, improving public access to government and socio-economic objectives, including jobs, training, and land reform. I think this is very central, honorable members. Central in the sense that when we're talking about cost saving, we're talking about not just going out to lease buildings from the private sector when we have millions of buildings which are underutilized. Leasing in, therefore you're saving the cost of the state. But also leasing out, you are hiring these buildings to the private sector and making money. There's a lot of value. And improving access to government socio-economic objectives, which means also making these opportunities available, especially in the property sector, to the disadvantaged groups. Who are those? The black people in particular are not in the property space. The women are not in the property space. The disabled are not in the property space. The youth. In whatever we're doing, we must do that. Of course, still complying with what you would call as a fair way of dealing with and opening everything to everybody. But there must be designated groups which were able to pull out to have special arrangements. And within that year, if you look into Public Works, most of the people are administrators. But if you want to run this portfolio, what do you need? You need property experts. You need built environment experts. We've already started with the courses to train them as property people. And the University of Pretoria, UJ, and the vets, they must come into the party in terms of programs which are tailor-made for some of our staff members so that they become professional property people. So in addition to the war on corruption and state capture, we have said government priorities include professionalizing the organs of government to strengthen service delivery, generating that investment and job creation, and driving the real socio-economic transformation in the interest of all, and I emphasize all our people, and addressing, of course, the land question, the unemployment, poverty, and inequality. And Chairperson, I must urge, this committee must be seized with the debates of the land debate, because the expropriation is here, from our side led by the Deputy Minister. It's a very big debate now, and I think it's starting to gel, it's starting to focus, and it's in the interest of this committee to be on board on this debate, because that debate also talked to the issue of the subject today, of the properties, what is available, and so on. Accommodation in that. And there's a lot of open land. But if you're going to make that available to the black people, where's financing? So those issues come into the picture. So the PICs, the DFIs must come into the party. They must stop being conservative. But of course, remember, they can't just throw money. They must make sure that their money, their investment is secured. So we need people who are going to be very much interested in this, who are. And I'm saying that operationalization of the PMTE talks to all those objectives. And I can go into detail, but then I would be at the risk of simply repeating myself, Chairperson. And it's all there in the budget speech. The complexities of how we arrive at our destination, that is what these officials will be presenting today to you. And thank you for that opportunity. And I will hand over to the acting head of the PMTE, Ntate Maroga, to lead the discussions. Whenever there are questions which might be political in nature or strategic in nature, the Deputy Minister is always there. And I want to repeat it, Chairperson. Deputy Minister and I have always said we take committees very seriously because that's where we account. And we enjoy when they are putting us on our toes because these officials will be listening as to the Parliament is not happy in relation to 1, 2 and 3. It's not just us making a lot of noise. Thank you, Tete Maroga. Through you, Chairperson.
Maybe just before you leave as Minister, we would like your words that the portfolio committee must hold you accountable to them. What we want to impress, when we indicate areas of concern, don't like it, but don't do anything. So look into the report of our oversight visits to areas, because it identified areas of concern. When you don't move at all, but still say you like when we complain, now you make us feel what your liking is like we are a music to your eye, your ears. Not that you want to act. For example, the last visit by the committee, I was not yet a chair, but I have a duty as a successor in law to fight for that visit, was in Eastern Cape. We found a clinic that is built by Public Works, top of the art clinic, well equipped with top of the art equipment, but for more than a year is not utilized by anybody. The contractor that put that clinic in Kedule, just outside Umdata, was not paid, so it kept the keys with itself because it's not paid for more than a year. The portfolio committee found out and it raised it there and there. It was reported in Parliament. We made a speech reporting in the report of the visit. Nothing is happening. So I'm just taking just that example out. There are other areas where we would want to move.
So when we speak, we also have a very capable young man who is representing you, even in many called Mpo. So when we say things to him, we would appreciate a movement, because it is in the interest of the people of South Africa. So it's not in the interest of us as individuals. So I thought I must just lift that example, because it's almost like a song now. If I must repeat the last song, we were phoned, we were written about the properties in Kears Repeal, 89 top of the range houses. Public Works is renovating them year in, year out. They were meant for the SAPS, but SAPS is not using them. So we are now told they were handed over to SAPS, but still is not using. Now the community is complaining to Public Works, because they are saying Public Works make South Africa work. That's why they are complaining to us. Tomorrow we'll be visiting that area. We are now told it's headed to the SAPS, but they are not utilizing it. Now what do you do if you hand over 89 beautiful houses and then to a government and they don't use it? What do you do? Do you ignore it? No, Tina. But people report to us. Well, what do we do? And now it's not 1 year. It's many years. We are a caring government. Now, we know poor people of South Africa were excluded from owning homes in towns and cities by apartheid. Now, 24 years, we are government. We still have houses, but we don't give them. Say, no, they are reserved for police. For 5 years, reserved for police. Police are not interested. Now, what do we do? We must find a solution. So we request, Minister, we are going there tomorrow. We request a solution, pointing fingers that no, it's police, but the point is they are not utilized, and the community want them. What do we do now? We are really provoking people to really think of invading the houses. For 5 years, we continue renovating. And what are we up to? Just giving contractors a work? So I think I'm just using those examples. There's a long list. So but at least those examples. So you can't have properties, but the houses, beautiful ones, they can be sold. In fact, in Mthatha, there's an area called Greenville near General Nurse's home there. It is a public works property. People are staying there for many years. During the Olomisa time, they were promised that they were going to be given. They are. Now, those houses are getting degenerated. They are dilapidating because their owners are not able to fix them, because they are told it's not in your name. But they want to really upgrade them if they are given these houses at whatever price. So I'm saying that is what the committee, when it went there, discovered. So it's called Greenville. It's near Nurse's Home. The Nurse's Home is also a ghost Nurse's Home, because the people were removed there, the nurses, because it was said Public Works want to develop the area. But more than 10 years, there's no development. The Nurse's Home is now a place for criminals. Can we really do this? So I'm just, I've given you three examples, four with the Nurse's Home. So thank you very much, Minister. Sure.
What we should avoid, Chairperson, is extending the mandate of Public Works beyond what Public Works is supposed to do. You see, the issue of those houses, it's not a Public Works problem. It's either it's a human settlement problem or it's a police problem. You see, let me make another example. the military bases. A lot of properties in the military bases have been abandoned by the military. But we've delegated some of those properties to them. They just abandon us. Abandon those properties. Do not even tell us. Sometimes one example is parastatals. There's a lot of properties which have been abandoned by parastatals, be it Transnet or what. And people think that they are public works properties, and they are not public works properties. The same with these issues of the clinics. Sometimes it's done by the province, but we have to take the blame, but it's done by the province. And you seated there as a chairperson, as a lawmaker, you know this issue of the spheres of government. It's a very complex issue we are dealing with, of the spheres of government and lines of accountability and so on, where MECs will be very clear that I'm not accounting to you as a minister, I'm accounting to my premier. These are the issues which we will have to mediate and deal with those issues. All I'm trying to say, sometimes we have to take the blame. Ours is to build and hand over to the client department. What they do with that, we leave it to them. If they give it to us to look after that, we will do that. But of course, we have not been up to scratch on some of them. But generally speaking, on the examples which you are quoting, we're just carrying the blame because of the other departments who are not doing their work. The last point which I just wanted to emphasize, take the hospitals now. The state of the hospitals for many people, especially the big hospitals, leaves much to be desired. We won't touch those hospitals until health gives us money and then give us permission to renovate those hospitals. It's as simple as that. They have to come to us and say, this is the money we want to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But it's very easy people to say it's public works which is not maintaining. So I think it's going to be important that we make that distinction, but I will leave it there, Chairperson. At some stage, maybe at the level of the NCOP, it might be important that when you call us to account, even in this committee, you call both the minister or the ministry, the department, and a provincial department to come and account on those things, because they fall under them. It will help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. But please, Minister, the report of the oversight visits must be responded to. We, as a portfolio, we have a duty. We can't allow the houses that were built by people's money to remain unutilized. And we are not even going to be happy when the department points each other. We want department and ministers that must solve problems. Once problems are made, are put in front of you, find a solution. And if you are saying we must call the Minister of Police, yourself, and the Minister of Hospitals, MECs, will do it. But we thought you can also, having heard how the portfolio feel about unutilized houses with the government people's money, you should do something. But if you feel, no, it's not your business, we must call the MECs. We'll apply our mind into it, because we have a duty to ensure, if we must call both yourself and but respond to our report, so that we then, on the basis of your response, then we can call the MECs, where we must call the Minister of Hospitals, we must call the Minister of Hospitals, where we must call the Minister of Mapoisa, because it remains public works is the custodian of that's why people are writing to us. I don't think they are wrong. So we must find a solution. We must find a solution than, you know, pushing people around. No, go to that one. Must find a solution. That is what we would want to impress. find solution and utilize buildings and houses in fact is a crime against the people of South Africa. We show them houses, but you can't have them. We do exactly what God did to Moses. He showed him Canaan, but he said, you won't get there. And yet he led the Israelis all the way. Eh? So we can't allow it to happen. Now we are a democracy. So we say no. So we think houses that are utilized, are built by people's money, must be. We must do everything. The number of, you are now heading the department. Houses that are built by government, fight with your colleagues in other departments if you must do. Because now we are fighting with you. You are the custodian of the property government. Or the new custodian. So, Minister, we hope you'll understand. We have a duty. We have a duty.
I understand.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Dr. Madoba?
Thanks, Chen. Good morning to the Minister, Deputy Minister, and the team, colleagues. No, we appreciate Honorable Minister to be open with us on the issue of the PMTE because it's really our concern. And you have raised some of the things. I think what I wanted to ask, because maybe I'm in a rush, can you ask the leader of this presentation in your absence? But I don't know, because some of it is like political. It's what transpired when you were addressing the nation on the what is happening in the PMTE. I think when we are presenting in your vote, you are addressing the nation, because this is the nation that is waiting. I agree with you, Minister, to say that some of the things really is not the mandate of the department. That's why maybe it will be important that, as the chair is saying, mm-hmm. when you get these things that is being raised, you clarify. But all of us, we know what is your responsibility. But it will help us to call them with your department, what the chair is raising, so that we ask them the question, why is it like that? Because even in your statement, you have indicated when you were doing presentation that you have discovered unutilized property. If you are saying you have discovered, who is responsible for it? You know, all of those questions that we need to pose and raise, because we are also interested on the property charter. You have indicated that most of the people are not, are not part of the property sector, you know, especially women and the youth. But we want to know the role of this property charter, how far in regard to the implementation. But I also take what you say to say that the problem is that you have got just the people that are there that does not have expertise in the field, which delays the service delivery as well as the implementation. And you indicated that you are going to establish a unit. I'm not sure, Chair, whether it's something that is going to be started now, because you indicated in your presentation here that you professionalized the PMTE in 2013 through the turnaround strategy. So this team is not yet established. It's going to be established. That's the clarity that I would want to know, because 2013 to date, I think something should have happened, because the minister has been consistent to say that the challenge that we are having is the people that don't have expertise. That's why sometimes we allowed him to go through consultant and so on to try. But after that, you are supposed to get the people with expertise to deal with PMTE. We are not really happy with the reversal of the achievement of the PMTE after the minister had a break. I don't know whether he was having a break, but really, we think... No, you are not at the way of the reversal. Because you want disappeared, you are not in front of us, but we hope that you are going to really focus on this on this matter, because we are saying also it's key for the economy of the country, for job creation, and so on. If really you're not going to fast-track this unit to the one that you say you're going to be established, because you said it will be also talk to the growth of the economy. You know, that's what you said. So I think really we must, sometimes when you come back, know exactly when is it going to be happened, because 2013 to me, this unit, because it's a core unit we are talking about, it's supposed to be there. But I know the challenges maybe you face when you start the other thing. I was saying this one has joined the actors. Are you acting now? Can you act? Okay, welcome to the acting. But I said this is a CFO, but it's fine. Join the actors. Thanks. I think, Minister, please, this one, because the driving of new investment in the economy to promote growth and jobs, it's what we want at this committee. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fultana, I want to jump in.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. You know, when first you posed this matter, I didn't know that it would end up giving me an opportunity to clear my chest on something here. We may constantly deny the fact that South Africa is actually a federal state. Constitutionally, that's not how we put it, but practically and really, that's how it is. And it is from that misunderstanding, Honorable Minister, that we keep bringing issues to you that constitutionally are actually at the hands of the legislatures. I want to be on record as having appealed to you today before 11 o'clock to say take up this matter with your cabinet colleagues, particularly the Deputy President, to sort out this issue. Because time and time again, we do come across cases where we think, and people come to us and they say, here's a hospital which is run down. The general understanding of people is that Public Works owns government property. And so if there is no synchronized working relationship between the legislative level of government and national, I know what the Constitution says. It says where two policies clash, national policy will win the day. But that's very subtle. We need a clearer way of how you work. When I say you're representing, you're a proxy of all the ministers and your counterparts countrywide. So this matter needs attention at cabinet level. We might have to amend some legislation or supplement whatever. I'm not suggesting a constitutional review, but something needs to be done. Secondly, Honorable Minister, just before you go, I would like for you to take this home. It has been specifically brought to my attention that 1,500 people were employed by your predecessor in the short term that he was in office. What were those people employed to do when we are complaining about a shortage of critical posts in the department? We would like to get a response to that. 1,500 in the space of 9 months. How critical were those posts in these times of fiscal constraints? Thank you.
I'm just worried that you are even opening things that we really didn't. But Mr. Riddell, I don't want to suppress people, but try not to open things that are not yet. Maybe when the presentation is done, there will be opportunity. But Mr. Riddell?
Thank you, Chair. I'll try not to take too long. I do want to start by saying I have sympathy with the Minister, and I hear exactly where he's coming from, and I understand exactly what he's saying. And perhaps to go back to my speech that I made in the House last week, where I said the reputation of Public Works lies in tatters. And it's probably not entirely the fault of Public Works that it happens. If you go to any police station, if you go to any Home Affairs building, and you look at the state of the place and it's looking tatty and broken, you go to those people, and I mean it happened when we were on oversight as well, Chair, in the prisons. You go to the people and you say, why does this look like this? And they say, oh, Public Works is just not doing that. When it's not a Public Works problem, it's actually their own maintenance bills that's supposed to be covering it. And I think the issue is that the internal communication and the intergovernment communication as well is not there, and it's something that needs to go out there so that when our Public Works representatives or team in, that's on the ground goes to places, they can clearly delineate the different responsibilities that are those of public works and that those are of the user departments and those of the provinces. I do, however, think that that is difficult because I certainly, after I think I've been 8 months on this committee, still don't really know exactly where that delineation lies myself, okay? And I think one of the problems with that is because of the federal state that we're finding ourselves in, because everything seems to be different. You know, I was in Tabatwane last week Monday, and the state of the roads bothered me substantially, so I phoned the councillor, and the councillor said, no, but those are not city roads. It's actually the Department of Public Works that maintains all of the services in Tabatwane. And I mean, I was gobsmacked. We've got now a municipality within a national government department almost. I mean, at biggest belief. And just these little issues that you know, after 8 months, I'm struggling to get my head around. I'm not sure that after 8 years I'll be able to understand it entirely. So I do have sympathy, Minister, but I do think that perhaps some education, user education is necessary and some discussion amongst yourself and your colleagues, but to be filtered down to station commander level, to office manager level, et cetera, so that there's a clear understanding of who fixes the light bulb, who fixes the dripping tap, and who fixes the wall that's fallen down. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister.
I'm taking all the comments positively from the members, starting from the first comment by Honorable Matlop. That's what the team is going to precisely present today, as to how far are we with that unity. They will tell you, we have now separated even the budget and everything. Even staffing and so on, they are going to be giving details into that. And we are moving, developing it. And the issues which have been raised also by Honorable Ufildane and both the Honorable Ryder, it's very clear that some of these matters, they need a cabinet. And we've talked about these issues at the cabinet level. For instance, when we're debating in Northwest, we were saying maybe the question would be, where were we as the national government, because we're responsible for the whole country? So we've come to those debates, and some are cabinet, but some are for IGR, the intergovernmental relations, but some are also for the MINMEC, you see, between ourselves and the MECs. But and I want to emphasize, this committee chairperson must not be afraid to call the DG of Public Works and the head of the department in the Eastern Cape to come and account here together with the MECs and say, what about this, so that you don't start wanting to pass the buck to each other. What is happening? The issue of the roads, Honorable Member, is very interesting. Public Works, we're not even closer to the roads, but the reconfiguration in the provinces, it's normally roads and public works. And people therefore think, like Honorable Memes was saying, when we see the state of the... In fact, I've been attacked in many funerals in the Transcar about the road. There's a road from Montfrey to Matatiel, which is halfway, passing the popular DJ, the late Usaba's place. That road was stopped 6 years ago, halfway. It's a stretch of about 70 kilometers. It was done up to about 40 kilometers. Nothing has happened. You visit it. Every time when I'm in the funeral by the pastors and everybody, they attack me and say, Public Works is here, must explain, like you were saying. Do not understand that. And they even say, Mtakanqesi, this is your home, you've even failed to build a road in your own home. You do it halfway. So because to them, it's Public Works is responsible for the roads because of the reconfiguration. In fact, in most of the provinces, it's roads and public works and so on and so on. So I'm saying you are right. At the level of the ordinary communities, they expect that, regardless of who is responsible, they expect that the government is cohering and is having coordinated work and so on. But we will try and raise the issues at that particular level. Thank you, Chairperson. I think we're eating a lot of time on the real presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No, Minister, I think it's helpful so that you understand the cries. But others are not really far away from you. It's not like roads, you see. Remember the clinic I'm talking about. Is it our duty as portfolio? We must follow the budget. You know, the duty of portfolio is to follow the budget we allocate to public works. You then transfer it to the provincial and entities. And then it build that clinic. We were taken to that clinic as a proof. We were told. That's why the portfolio went to the clinic. It was told, when we visited, we were taken to the justice center, we're taken to the clinic, we're taken to one road there in Mthatha. So by the officials of the province, the entities were also taken to some prisons. All these were following the budget of public works. That was so. Now, if today you are telling me to know the portfolio was taken to wrong projects, then that is news for me, because your officials were present. The provincial public works, the national public works, the entities, they were there. Now, all of a sudden, you're no longer responsible. But that day when the portfolio visited, it was said, these are the projects that were, because we are following the fund. When we go to provinces, we make oversight visits. We check the money, because the bulk of the money that is given to public works, you then transfer it to entities and everybody else. Then we follow it. We check, is it used in line with what is expected? Now, that's what we do oversight for. Now, if today we are told, no, the oversight visit was misled, those were not public works.
You don't give money for clinics.
So, then which means we went there.
EPWP, yes.
By EPWP, which is?
Yes.
That is your EPWP, we give, that's our budget. Now, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the clinic, we don't build the clinic.
But EPWP?
I'm saying, it's me who said EPWP, yes.
And then the researcher is saying, yes, that's what we followed.
Yes.
Now, what are we talking about?
When we're talking about the clinic, we're talking about something else. That's not EPWP.
I think we will have to discuss this, because there's the whole visit. The whole visit, because now it's like there was something wrong with the visit.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. No, I think because the Minister has indicated that it's within our rights to call all those departments in one roof and deal with them. I think it was coming from him. We need to do that, because we'll always have a problem of saying this is this one and the other one says the other one. But the departments, especially the client departments, they request public works if they are building it, and then they hand over to the client department. That's why I think the minister is saying we have got a right to call of them in the one roof. I think for that visit, we need to call all of them to come an account of who is responsible for that clinic that the chair keeps on saying every time. Because I think is a good clinic. But now, because it was not open, I don't know, because the chair once said they must check whether it is now working and get a feedback. Because the problem that they were saying, they said they were not paid. That's what they said on the oversight, they were not paid. If they say they were not paid, we must know by who. and then deal with that particular person. But it is correct to say that when the public works deal with the client department, they are not responsible after they've done it. So that's why we must make them account in one roof. I think ministers who accept that public the EPWP, we know that it's your passion and the deputy minister, but we will be following the money and see whether things are being done well. But the clinic, really, we need to get clarity on that one, because I think maybe the information they gave us is not correct. Because if it is correct also, we must know, because the minister is saying the MECs and the head of departments of the province, because you may find that, yes, it's public works, but it sits there as an accounting, the national department. We will be asking them, and they refer us to the provinces. We must call them and deal with them. Yeah. I think that is the only solution, Chair, because we can't keep on raising one and the same thing. We must call all those people that are responsible for that one, client departments, provinces, and then account on that one. Because the minister is correct to say that some of the things doesn't belong actually to them. But Tina will be asking them, and then they will be referring, as he has done, to us. We must call them in the next meeting, Chair.
Okay. Now, I think let's agree that because we indeed have a duty to follow up, we will then follow up on the matter, because it's a part of the report of the oversight visit. And we know it was built by the IDT as an implementing agent for, in fact, so we'll follow up on it. That's why you were taken there, so I was not there, but at least it's part of the report. We have a duty to follow it. The researchers, they were all here. They are still of the view that they were following the money correctly, because it would be also wrong for us to, when we do oversight, we visit things that we have no reason to visit. But from the staff here, it's like they were following their money. So it's like, so we'll follow it up. They are still adamant. It was, they were following their money. Okay, thank you very much, Minister. I think it's also important that we in the, yeah, we'll follow it up, because indeed it is in our report. Maybe you must respond to that report, because we wouldn't have even raised it if there was a clarity. No, this was not really so. No, it should be. Government does not work on personalities. We can't say, Madopa, government doesn't work your way. The government work whether a minister is there or not. Yes, please. please behave. Can we then agree that we afford the department to now present the reason for the meeting? the reason for the meeting was the presentation, the brief on the operationalization of the turn around program and on financial sustainability of the property management trading entity. But we, because the minister is here, things that are worrying us, we had to, I think it assisted, because we have been raising these things, but we are given an answer that is different for the first time. So I think it was very helpful. We now know how to do things. Thank you very much, Mr. Maroka.
Thanks, Chair. This presentation is a follow-up from a meeting that we had on the 27th of March. After that meeting, there were extensive discussions and questions. And then, Chair, we agreed that we will provide the written answers to those questions, and which we did, and also follow up with the presentation. And I think you could see, even from the preamble of the discussion to the presentation, that the ecosystem of public works is quite extensive and complex. And I want to validate your questions. And in fact, as you speak, I can understand how the issues evolved, because we have entities like the IDT. They may be doing something for the province, but it's not for the for public works. But you as an oversight for IDT may end up in a clinic that is built by IDT on behalf of a province. That, you know, and I think that's probably one example. But also, as we talk about entities, we've got EPWP, which is done by implementing entities. And I think it's your province to look at EPWP, but the project may not be a national public works project. So I think that ecosystem is quite complex, and I think as we begin to navigate it with other departments, I think we can begin to see how, you know, how we deal with oversight. So we're presenting the PMTE, which is also a fairly complex entity of the department with a very a big mandate to deal with some of the issues of the department. So what we'll attempt to do, Chair, is to when we discussed the previous time, I think we came too much in terms of the technical detail before we actually give the context. So today we just want to give the context, the history of the PMT and decisions that have been made over time, cabinet positions that have already been articulated, and I think the minister summarized them. We just want to take you through those so that you understand what is the end state in terms of the PMTE and what you will start hearing as the state management property entity agency or corporation. Those are the kind of concepts that we would want to begin to talk to. Now, I'm not too sure because you're facing this way whether I should use that to point for you.
Yeah, no, you can look into the board's own mind because I would see the intention. Why are you giving me a bag?
Yeah, okay.
Now, I won't mix it with Tendule Clinic.
So what we're attempting to do, Chair, is just to say there's been a journey to the establishment of the PMTE. We just want to revisit what was decided, what was the original mandate, confirm the services and of the PMTE and how it's provided, analyze the methods of delivery, identify risks and constraints, revise the model, and talk about short, medium, and long-term goals. But I would want to also copy the Deputy Minister's quote in the budget vote, where he quoted, I think, a Chinese proverb that says, when you cross a flooded river, sometimes you just put your feet and start with the first rock that you can find, then the next one. That's how you cross a flooded river. So it is not necessarily linear how you're going to cross. It's going to depend what pebble you come across. So the journey of forming a PMTE or a state property management vehicle is such a journey, because as you step on to one rock, you then discover new dynamics that says you need to adjust, you need to reevaluate, and those are the kind of things that we will talk about.
Okay. Mr. Feldan, I'm very lenient, but when we really disrupting, it's not very good, but I'm lenient to honorable members. Let's hear you.
Thanks for your leniency, Chair. I've had a look at the first 10 pages of the presentation, and I've had a look at my watch. And I do recall from memory that this history was given to us in the recent past. And I'm just wondering what value are we going to get out of it being repeated here today. A 3-minute, very, very summarized version of it would do the trick. I think given the time, we need to go straight to the meat of the thing, you know. I don't want to say we use time profitably from 10 o'clock until now, but I think we'll get more value if we go straight to the meat. I think we all understand, you know, the context. We've all been here at this committee, the persons. Thanks, sir.
I know what you're saying. Maybe, you know, when you do the presentation, you also plan the angle, how you want to. Maybe we can say you can move the way you are moving, but maybe try to be quicker because you you would have planned how you are going to land into the real stuff before you actually, but you can try to be faster, because indeed Mr. Fildan is going to dash out. I also understand his wish to almost push you to a particular. So balance the concern.
I think, Chair, maybe I neglected to understand what time constraints do we have, so that we can try and narrow down the message to meet your time constraints.
Let's say by... I'm sharing, you're not sharing. So the best is that you allow the chair to share. No, the lady is from overseas. She has been moving from that country to that country. Now, yeah, she almost... No, please allow the chair. You are back in South Africa. Let's say by 11:30, if you can be done, so that the members can engage the report as well. By 11:30, if it's possible. We're not really too tight. I'm not a strict person. I want people to indicate, but also members must also be able to ask you questions. Because you must account, if you have been planning since 2005, plan about PMT, what kind of plan is this? So take that into account, because they will say, you are telling us background all these years. Now we want results. We are result-oriented government. Okay, cover that.
My apologies, I was taking my neighbor. What time I was finishing at 12.
No, you were taking our time, please.
Yeah, indeed. I will not go. I'll make sure I don't go through every slide and every word. But maybe let me summarize. Let me just verbalize my summary, so that when you go to a slide, we can focus. I think what we wanted to convey is that the concept of a trading entity or a vehicle of state to manage property has been coming a long way since approximately 1999, where a cabinet decision was made that separate the policy making and the operations of state property. That's when the issue of the entity came aboard. There were a number of cabinet decisions which were made, but never actualized. And until, I think the minister indicated, until around 2006, when a formal cabinet decision was made that says, go and establish a state property company, which will take on the management of the state property. And part of those decisions is to talk about what is the corporate form of that entity. A big discussion ensued. Out of that discussion, National Treasury suggested a corporate form called trading entity. Now, a trading entity is a National Treasury construct that talks to when a department wishes to trade either with the public, there is a particular framework that National Treasury gives to that particular entity. But however, the trading entity is not the final form. So Cabinet approved what is called a government component, which they deemed to be an appropriate form of an entity which can be capacitated to manage the state property. So where we are in the interim, which is called the trading entity. And in some instances, we talked about the trading entity as if it's the final form. Now, so we needed to make that point. So what we still need to do is to move towards a government component, which is in the cabinet approval, the final state of the state property. But I want to take you to a diagram, I think, to just contextualize. I think on slide, on slide 8, and I think when we got the questions, we just needed to contextualize the relationship between the history of the department the formation of PMTE and some of the challenges that the PMTE is dealing with. And when we talked about them in the previous meeting, it seemed as if this were the creation of the PMTE. But we want to just illustrate where we come from. Maybe just put all the boards. And I just want to go through the. So when you look at where the department comes from, and you're talking here the issues which before the formation of PMTE were issues. There was no verified asset register. The accounting principle was on a case basis. We're using government transversal system. The issue of capacity constraints, skill limits, and in general, a very unfavorable audit outcome when we're in that department. Now, the decision to form and establish the PMTE brings new concepts to the management of the entity. First, it starts with a verified asset register. It starts to talk to a GRAP-compliant management of the accounting system. It begins to talk to an ERP system to control the operations. It talks to the capacitation of the human resources and talks to skill capacitation. So when you start separating in the department an entity called PMTE, it doesn't mean the problems of the department goes away. All it says, you've drawn a line and say this is the PMTE. But when you start, for instance, using GRAP from cash accounting, it brings new thresholds in terms of accounting. So we're no longer accounted on a cash basis, we're accounted on accrual basis. That introduces new threshold in terms of how you account it. So just by forming PMTE, you're not removing the problem, but you are adding new thresholds against which you're audited. So when you see a PMT adverse audit, it doesn't mean the PMT has created the adverse audit. Yeah. All it has done, it has inherited the issues of the department, but created even new ones by just changing the accounting standard. So those are the things that we needed to clarify. Now, as we move forward, obviously, part of having the PMTE is to be able to create it in such a way that, like any other professional property outfit, it begins to meet the standard of a property outfit. And you must understand, therefore, where we are to compared to where we need to go, there's a big bridge to build, and we needed to make that point. So, and I'm now trying to optimize time. I'll go to slide. Right. I will go to slide 13. I think here we want to make the point, I think it's self-evident, that as the Department of Public Works, we, and I think you've said it, Chair, our job is to capacitate the state to deliver services. And it's important that we understand that mandate. But beyond that, I think the point I think that was discussed earlier about the responsibility of various custodians within government sphere needs to be understood. So here we begin to show what national department is responsible for. That's very small, I hope you see. Mm-hmm. So you could see National Department of Public Works, the key departments that it's accountable for, it's SEPs, it's Defense, it's Justice, it's DCS, Department of Home Affairs, Arts and Culture, Department of Labor, etc. But some of the departments that we are not taking care of have been taken care of in the provinces. When we talk about health, education, housing, and major infrastructure, including roads. And the point that has been discussed earlier, where the public sees public works as everything, but from an accountability perspective, there is a segregation. And also, there's also sometimes not a segregation between what is municipal infrastructure and what is state-owned infrastructure in compared to public works. And we just needed to make that point. However, we need also to acknowledge that in terms of the min-max and being the custodian of the public work sector, we do influence policies, practices, even in the provinces through the min-max processes. So that's the point we wanted to make. Now, on this slide, Chair, which is the following slide, is to begin to talk to what I've alluded to earlier, where we had previously focused on the issue of the trading entity and focusing on the national treasury compliance as opposed to the end state, which is what cabinet is expecting. Please indicate how you're going to form a state property management company entity and what is this substantive for? And as we talked about finances, it is important that we begin to differentiate the two. So we're saying the end state is a substantive form of the entity, and we need to look at its vision, its stakeholder expectation, institutional relationship with public works, and the business model that we need to adopt to deal with that. So as I begin to try to optimize, maybe I should go to slide 17, and then slide 17. Now, we just need to formalize what Cabinet has approved, approving the business case for the government, for the establishment of the government component as the final destination of the PMTE. And in it, also, there was a statement made by the Department of DPSA to start saying the word PMTE might also begin to mix things, because the trading entity is a national treasury construct, but it doesn't speak to the final form, which is the state property management agency. And we actually made a decision that we actually have to move away from this name to actually indicate where the end state is, which is this state property management agency. So I'm not going to go into the all of the history, except to say this point was again verbalized and alluded to in the latest cabinet sitting where we presented PMTE, which was in the late 2017. Now, we had not shared this slide, the next slide, and it's important that I think members just appreciate the different corporate form that we're dealing with. On the far left is Department of Public Works as a government department. Then within that is you form a trading entity. Now, a trading entity is not outside the department, it's within the department. The accounting officer is still the accounting officer of the department, the rules of the department. The only thing is you separate the account and we have separated the personnel, but you're still bound by the rules of mostly of the department. But we show the next form, which is the government component. And the government component, it is a new construct within the government sphere, which begins to move the independence, of an entity. But the biggest thing with government component, it will have its own accounting officer, as opposed to a trading entity, which has an accounting officer with the same as the department. But it begins to give more authority to the entity to deal with its operations as opposed within the department. But the most important thing that even the government component is still within the sphere of the DPSA. So the condition of service, the condition of work of employees does not change. It's only when you cross the line to the public entity where you go into a corporate form like Transnet Plaza, where you then have both as accounting officers. So we just needed to make that point. The next slide, I think, we just give the current government components that are already established. One of the most famous one is the government printing works, which is already running. I think, Chair, maybe to summarize and maybe to give to Mr. Mokoro to deal with the rest of the presentation, is to say we just wanted to make this point that the PMT is a transitional mechanism towards an end form. And that end form is government component, still within the DPSA rules, but there is a lot of steps that we still need to take to take there. But also the issue of the financial sustainability, to indicate, and I think Mr. Mukhoro is going to deal with it, is that one of the things that we've discovered in terms of the trading entity as an transitional mechanism and its restriction, one of the things that National Treasury requires when you have a trading entity is that it must recover its true cost. So when you have a trading entity, and a trading entity concept, in fact, we think National Treasury put it together when any department wants to create some kind of a business to trade, National Treasury says, we want to approve it in such a way that whatever you do not harm the fiscus. You don't go and do reckless things and we have to bail you out. So you must, you know, you must recover your cost. But with a state property entity, the problem is the following, is that the income must come from National Treasury, even if it's through the client. So what it means that if you have to charge the true cost of what it costs for property, National Treasury must increase the allocation to the clients for us to receive that. So you, when you make it a condition for us to be a trading entity, you as National Treasury, you are actually responsible for our revenue. And that's what we call the National Treasury Public Works Conundrum. And we are having a discussion with National Treasury. And I think in the last meeting, there was a lot of talk about you want to be a business, you are not recovering your cost, and you want to go to National Treasury. But the mere fact that the state property budgeting and cost is the accountability of National Treasury. So if you're taking cost reflective tariffs, you are saying National Treasury, make sure that what we receive is cost reflective, and it must then be shown in the fiscus. And that's a contradiction that we're dealing with National Treasury. I'll stop there and allow Mr. Mukhoro to maybe also just summarize a few things before we close. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mukhoro.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Honourable Members and the Deputy Minister. Just a little bit of background as a follow-up from the previous presentation we did. I think what one picked up from the discussions that ensued was the fact that there was a bit of a misunderstanding with respect to what we're actually doing. And I think the attempt that was proposed today to try and just re-communicate what we did, because we may have failed to do it properly the last time. I think the one thing was we did not come to the portfolio committee to request additional funding. What we were trying to do was to say in the journey of the turnaround, as you improve, and Mr. Maroka has made a bit of a point around that, as you improve and start to do things better, you actually get wiser, and as you get wiser, you find other things that you need to attend to. And I think the creation of the operationalization and financial sustainability of the property management trading entity is a direct outcome of that process, and that's where we are now. And I think the question was asked, where is this program? Is it this unit? This unit is running now. And what you see is a product of its work to date. And I think the issue comes back from the time from the time of the devolution of the budgets to the other departments, and I think I should try and just in the summary try and capture this with the slide that we have in front of us here, which is on slide 24. What we have on slide 24 is four bars, and the first bar indicates the amount of monies that are sitting with the national fiscus, which is the money that are sitting with the national treasury, and that's the national treasury then allocates that monies to the department and other departments as well. And currently, what is happening is we've got 4.5 billion rands that you can see, that orange bar. That 4.5 billion rands we collect from the client departments by way of an accommodation charge that we levy on those departments.
So that's what Public Works, that's what PMTE gets for providing SEPs and all these other departments with accommodation. We charge them 4.5 billion rand. The 3.8 billion rand is what National Treasury gives to the property management training entity to be able to do and complement the gap from a funding perspective. And that comes directly from National Treasury as part of the PMT allocation. Then the 4.3 that you see there, honorable members, that's the actual cost of our private leasing portfolio. So when we acquire private buildings from private sector for use by government departments, what we are paying is 4.3. So when you take this from a perspective of the fiscus, so what you're saying, government is paying private sector 4.3 billion rands. That's what it is. And if you look at the entire portfolio of Public Works, maybe just as a recap, is that we've got a portfolio of about 92,000 structures that we've spoken about, which is almost equivalent to about 36.5 billion million hectares of floor space on 29,000 land parcels, almost about 5.4 million hectares of land. And to do the property management work, what we have in terms of money is the 3.8 and the 4.5, which is more or less 8.3. And that's what the second bar tells us. Now, our discussions with National Treasury. National Treasury is saying, you're a trading entity. You need to recover the cost of your doing business. And the part of the cost of doing the business currently is the 4.5, which is what we are doing, plus the 3.8 that we are getting from National Treasury. And National Treasury is saying, we don't want to be giving you this money. We want you to levy this money to the clients so that they pay you this money. We don't want to have an augmentation or an allocation to yourself. So ideally, what does this mean? It means the charges that you are levying to the client departments moves from 4.5 billion to 8.3, literally meaning you double the charges that you are levying to your client departments. So from a state's perspective, there is no harm. The state has not incurred an additional money. It is just a reallocation from National Treasury directly to PMTE to National Treasury to the different departments. So what it means is that we need to now complement and double the charges to the national, to the other departments that you are levying, which means the departments will get the money and we'll charge them instead of 4 rands, now we're going to charge them 8 rands. And that's what it means. So the state is not harmed at all. The 4.3 remains because it is still part of our private leasing portfolio. It's the assets and the properties that we are getting from the private sector to provide to government departments in cases where we do not have government-owned buildings, and that's the 4.3 billion rands coming from. Now, when we take the cue from what National Treasury is telling us, that you're going to recover the full cost of running your business. Now, when you break down the full cost of running this business and you're providing accommodation, is a cost of maintenance, all of that. And we've broken it down to two different elements and excluded the other costs of capital, replacement, and reserves. So he said, the first stage, the first step that we need to go to is that the 12.6 billion rand that you see in that second bar, that money, that's sitting in the fiscus, it is not adequate for us to manage and maintain this massive portfolio. In terms of what we should be charging, we realize that the operating costs of running this portfolio that you're sitting with currently, we have a 4.8 billion rands gap. And we've done a whole user charge model that worked out the numbers, and we realize the operating costs, there's a 4.8 billion rands gap. That's the step. So for us to be able to do the work that we're expected to do, we now, just operationally, we need to be collecting an additional 4.8 billion rands. And after the fourth one, I'll just come to the issues. So that's where we are. And if we now incorporate the full cost, which now includes operating costs and the capital and all of that to run this portfolio, that takes us to the fourth step,
that you can see. And in terms of the calculations that we worked out using best practice and what you did, the ratio of capital reserve that you must put aside based on your portfolio and all of those kind of things, we realized that on top of the 4.8 billion rands full cost of operating this portfolio that we need, that's the gap that we have, we have an additional gap of 7 billion rands. So that's the message that we are trying to bring across. And the issue is that maybe if you go back to the initial founding statements of the PMT and the agreements that were reached at the 2006 and devolution, we gave an example the last time of office buildings and what the charge should have been to levy to client departments for the offices. You'll recall that we said we did a calculation actuarially based and based on the life of the assets and all that, and came to a square meter rent charge of about 26 rands per square meter. And when we ran this charge to the entire portfolio then, and remember by then the portfolio was two-thirds of what it is today, and we ran this into the entire portfolio, it came out that, no, the state was not going to be able to afford this 26 rands per square meter. An agreement was made that no, charge 4.74 rands per square meter, which will grow over 15 years. Now, that's where your problem is. And from that very specific time, you're a trading entity called PMTE. There is a condition that for you to be a trading entity, you need to be fully recovering your costs. You could be self-sustaining. You should not harm the state. So from that point of points, already there was a problem with the nature of the entity that you were. That we are not going to be in a position to recover these costs. If you look at the gap of 26 rands and 4 rands, and to date, we're still not there. So that's what really this is telling us now. So we are saying we've got an unfunded mandate of 11.8 billion rands in terms of doing what's expected of us to do. And you'll recall that in the previous presentation, we had also shown you the contradictions of the client expectations and what we can do, the different buildings that we've shown, and this is a consequence of this situation, that we are sitting with an 11.8 billion rands gap. We currently have on the fiscal 12.6. So to run this portfolio, which is so expensive, like I've indicated, you need about 24.4 billion rands, but you only have 12. And that's where you are sitting with. So that's the kind of our problem statement that we thought we should come and share with yourselves. And this is a consequence of the lessons getting wiser as you go along through those pebbles that Mr. Maroka indicated, that the Deputy Minister spoke about the last time. Going on to the next slide. The next slide is just a different way of looking at this conundrum. The conundrum is as follows. There's a dichotomy that says you are expected to fully recover your costs. And then if you juxtapose that objective against what government can afford, then it also questions the issues around, are you going to be financially sustainable? And even if you dispose of your assets, are you able to retain the proceeds from this disposal? It's always the question that we have, and that's the conundrum of National Treasury and ourselves. And we are trying to depict this in graphic form so that at least we can see it in a way, visually. What he said is, in the first circle, this is the portfolio of state. And the yellow or the orange part shows what is being used by the clients. So 93% of the portfolio is being used by the clients, including ourselves, as Public Works. 93% of the entire 92,000 structures are used by government, which gives us the brown around the orange, which shows the vacant properties that we have. And that's the 7% that we are talking about that we have. Now, if you look at the budget, because 93% is what comes from government, what's on the baseline of the government. And if you compare the two circles, you can see what's sitting on the client base. It's a smaller circle compared to that big circle. And that's an indication of the big circle, if you better, for lack of a better description, is the 24 billion rands that I was talking about in terms of the cost of running this portfolio. Now you've got 11.4 billion, and that's what's sitting in the client base. That's what we have in the fiscus. And if you look at it in terms of the funding, what you're recovering from the fiscus, which is from that little block, that's a clan base, which is a grey thing, what you're recovering on that basis from the clan base is 52% of what you're looking for. So that's the inner circle that is brown, and the grey is what your gap is. And that's what you're saying. If you look at this thing, the scales are totally not well balanced. If you move on. And on the other hand, you've got a 7% vacant, and 7% vacant. So what you need to be able to leverage somewhere in the order of about 48% of funding from private sector and other sources for you to be able to move down here to be able to get that money, which means you need interventions to bridge the gap. And the gap is fairly extensive. Like I said in the previous slide, you need 24.4 billion rands to run this portfolio properly, have the appropriate proper maintenance program running, replace the assets that are run down. You need 24.4 billion. And this is not a once-off, the 24.4. It's a annual recurring cost of running the portfolio. So, I mean, that's the scenario that I was trying to portray here. So the bottom circles, those are, if you want to show the picture of what is this full cost recovery, is what you're recovering from the client, which is the inner circle, and the outer is what your gap is. And that's a very extensive gap, and we talk about 48% of the funding that you're looking for that needs to be coming out. And then the next slide. The next slide just gives us, as we are sitting today, what does this actually mean? When you are sitting today, what it actually means is, if you look at 2017-18, where there's a little bit of a step by in terms of the graphs, the blue line shows the revenues are collecting. The orange line indicates the expenditure that we're incurring. And that's a 4.8, and this is just purely based on the operational costs. We have not even plotted on this graph the capital costs that are reserves that you need to put together. This is the 4.8. That's why I've taken the fourth step that I had in the previous presentation graph to show it, to say, if you take this 4.8 today, it's 4.8. What does this 4.8 mean if you remain the way you are today for the next foreseeable future, and a 10-year time horizon will give us that number? And that 4.8 cumulatively will grow to about 78.4 billion rands, which is the last number there, if you just aggregate this over time. And if you do some mathematical quantifications, you will actually do a discounted cash flow backwards and say, what is this amount today, basically? That's the gap. So that's the operating funding gap that you are talking about over the 10-year period. The next slide. The next slide is just a pictorial description of what I'm trying to get at. To say, here's a portfolio, the two oranges, the one very light and the other one lighter, that is allocated to clients and on use. And that's where the 93%. What you are trying to
just say? A minute, Mr. Maruga. Our guests from Tswane are now continuing with their work. They are now going to the library. Thank you very much, guys.
They've been frightened by the biggest.
Mr. Maruga, continue. Just a minute, Mr. Rege.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to get too deep into it, but this slide was discussed. You know, I brought with me the presentation from 22nd of March, and we went into this at length. So I think let's get past the meat. The last slide was the slide the same, and two slides before that was the same. So I think let's, you know, brush over the ones we've seen already, and let's get to the meat. Thank you.
Okay, so you still are in control. Remember, there may be something you are adding.
Yeah.
So if there's something you are adding, you may clarify that. So because you know the reason why you... But what is important, the honorable members are making you aware that they are wide awake. They know what you brought some time back. So if there's nothing you are adding, so don't save them time. But if there's something you're adding, say so. Thank you.
Uh, Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. I think the purpose of this exercise is to re-emphasize the point that the excess assets that you have, everybody talks about, oh, you've got excess that you're not, buildings that you're not using, land power that you're not using, why don't you sell them to sort out your issues? All we are saying is that what we have as excess compared to the challenge that we have from a funding perspective in terms of the gap. We sit with a gap of 11.4 billion rand, this excess that's sitting here, can't sort out this thing forever. And remember, the gap that you're talking about of 11.4 billion rand is an annual cost. The excess assets, if you actually dispose of them, they are gone forever, once off. You'll receive probably 7 billion rand and that'll be it. So it does not address your situation. And I think that's the kind of picture that we're trying to portray with that one. And the next slide talks to that. An indication, we can skip this one, Hayes. What we're saying is that the question will be, you can't come here and give us all these lamentations and scary situations. What are you doing? All we are trying to tell you is that we are doing something about it. We've decided to build a financial model which will navigate our operations into the future towards a point of financial sustainability. If you don't plan anything and don't set a plan, there's no way you can get. So what we're saying is that as the PMTE and as part of the professionalization of the business that we're doing, before there was no plan in terms of where the financial modeling was going, what's the sustainability program, we are working on that today. And the first starting point is the issue around the user charges. And the user charges is, what amounts of monies are we collecting from government departments for the work that we are giving to them? And the first thing that we can say is that we know that we already have 3.8 billion plus another 4.5 billion that is not there in the user charges, and the engagement with the Treasury are happening. And what is it that we're doing as well? We're building and looking at other things that we can assist in terms of, you know, generating further revenue. All we, again, saying again, honorable members and chair, if you look at the next slide, which is to be able to do this thing, this portfolio is massive, the one before. This portfolio is a massive portfolio, and it's 92,000 structures, and the expectations that are placed on us and what is possible, there's always a disjunction. And one of the things is, if you look at the construct of the immovable assets, for instance, there still needs to be a further amount of work. This asset register, honorable members, check. I can tell you today, we have compiled an asset register. So I'm not sure at times there's always this statement, you don't have an asset register. We have an asset register proper. We know the assets we own. We know they exist. We have visited all of them. We've done all of those things. The one issue that resulted in terms of the audit was the issue of the calculation of what you call a deemed cost. And in actual fact, a deemed cost is a fairly academic number. You are not using it for any purpose. You are not transacting with this thing. And in the calculation, there was an error that you did. It was identified, agreed with the AG, worked on it, it's resolved. It will be confirmed, hopefully, when the audit starts in this year. As you know, it starts 1st of June. So the asset register is there. And the reason why it was adverse was because of the extent and the impact of the asset in our financial statements, and that's the reason. So the asset register exists. We still need to take that register anyway to another level where we look at the different components that make up the asset. What we have today is up to the level of the structure and just the high level of the components that are there. We need to get deeper into this thing to say, okay, Parliament, instead of just the Parliament, what are the lifts that are in the Parliament? What are the boilers, axons, these big components that you have in the structures? And we need to actually have a record of those to that level in the asset register. And that's the only way you can then use that information to overlay a proper maintenance strategy. And if you're going to maintain and manage this portfolio, that's the level of information that you need. So we need to take those registers to that level. Currently sitting here for compliance purposes, yes, the AG can tick to say the register exists and that's the kind of thing. but for the value, the calculation, we are okay on that one. The next slide just indicates the IT systems that we need to be putting in place, and it's a whole integrated ERP system. There's no way you believe that you can manage a portfolio of this magnitude with no systems that are talking to one another. It's one thing about having a system that says, well, my asset register is there. It's about how everything that you do, because it's related to the asset register, when you capitalize the asset, when you dispose of it, you do it in such a way that it's automated and systemic. That's what we're trying to talk to here. And central to this thing is your asset register, which you'll be hooked up to your billing and accounting system. And on top of this asset register, like I indicated earlier on, you run a user charge model that will determine the charges that you're supposed to levy on those things. And remember, the asset register will have to be taken to another lower level in terms of the components. And then on top of the user charges model, you'll have a financial model that is navigating our way going forward. I think that's the broad statements that you wanted to make or message that you wanted to bring. And just to indicate to yourselves, honorable members, that yes, we've started to look at the funding strategy of the PMT. And we believe that we actually have identified a number of sources. The first source of our funding is the fiscus. The second one is we're going to save costs and introduce efficiencies. The third is we're going to take this asset register, which is so massive, and start to do a process of harvesting the asset register so that we can start to extract value out of it. And in the harvesting process, we started the process already as part of the operationalization of financial sustainability program. We started to look at things that we can do. We've identified 10 things that you can start doing already with the asset register. And there is just 10 things. And we believe if we can start to focus our attention on this, we will be in a position to raise extent that we're not going to have any reliance on the state, but at least we can reduce the reliance that we have on the state. And the 10 things are listed in there. I'm not going to go through each one of them. There are those that are quick wins, but in addition, there are those big ticket items that we're going to be pursuing. And you'll be seeing as we go along, we'll come back to yourselves to indicate the kind of things that we'll be doing around this. We'll be making announcements. You'll see us going out to the market because we're going to be starting to leverage value from the portfolio itself and the assets that we're running. We have taken all those things and put them in a quadrant between what is the things, if you look at the next slide on your on the left, is what are the things that have got, you know, what's the financial impact versus the time it takes to do this thing. So we put a whole quadrant and done some kind of a probability analysis around these things to see whether we can do. So what are looking for? You're looking for items that are sitting in the top end right quadrant. Is those things, well, let me say the top left quadrant. Things that are easy to do but have huge financial impact. That's what you're looking at. So that's what you're looking for. If you can get those ones where they have huge impact. As you know, we are running with an overdraft, which is violating the trading regulation in terms of the trading entities. We are not recovering costs, which is also in violation of that. So these are the kind of interventions that we are putting in place. And we've just given an indication of the kind of ballpark numbers, because we still have to go out to the market to firm up these numbers in terms of when you look at, if you look at the next slide, the leasing, just the potential savings, if we can get into the appropriate leases and negotiate. We believe that there's about 351 million rand sitting there that we can quickly get right. We are going to be pursuing that. If you look at the next one, the cost of holding unutilized properties. If we can just do something with those unutilized properties, where the cost of holding, and the cost of holding where you pay security, you pay the rates, we can actually save 267 already. So those are the kind of quick wins that we are talking about. When you look at the lease outs, the next one, that what we are leasing to private individuals and companies, the rates that we are charging, they are so low, if we just turn those rates, and the process are now underway to rectify those rates, there's a potential 470 million rand sitting there. We still want to firm up this thing as we go along. And other ways of raising the money, we will be taking some of the assets that we have. And what we've done is we've run a number of assets from the portfolio, from the entire register, in the bigger towns, and said, give us the assets, look at the traffic, the size. Can we utilize these for advertising space to create revenue? I mean, it can be for government, can be for, you know, responsible advertising. There is huge potential of money that can be raised on that one. The last one that we considered was the whole issue around how can we use our points of presence. Remember, we've got a footprint geographically throughout the entire country. If you can take the footprints of our buildings and network them through fiber optic, you are creating a complete telecoms company that's going to be massive, bigger than a telco. Why don't you do it? We already are in discussions with, you know, state entities that are within this kind of area to do it. And we are looking at that quite seriously. And then lastly, that's the OFSP. The question was asked, how do you, are we there? We are, the OFSP is running. Here we are just giving the whole monetization framework that we are looking at and the governance around how we're going to be processing some of this. Because some of the things that we're going to be doing will require an engagement to the level of a cabinet, because these are big things. If you are talking about, you know, big transactions that we are get into as the PMTE, will require that kind of coordination. I think I should leave it at that, Honorable Chair and members, and we shall take questions.
Thank you very much. You will realize that from half past, you have gone almost to 5-2. Still showing my leniency, so I allowed you through. Honorable members, I think because we want to give you more time, we may not take the break. Maybe we can, if you feel, you can just go and grab something. So if we agree, because it's important that you ask a question. That's your work, to ask question and ensure that the budget we always approve is accounted for. Can I then open up for members to ask question? Honorable Patricia Adams, you will be the first. Honorable Rydell, the second. Marcella, the third. And I think the doctor will close it. Maybe let's move. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is quite a technical report in my view. My first question is, National Treasury has to sign off the sign off that PMTE is a fully fledged entity, functioning as a government component in good standing timeframes. Then, Chair, the other is more clarity-seeking questions, and it pertains to the scenario journey. When you talk about non-core disposals, how do you identify? Have you sat down and decided what is non-core? The same with the leasing ins. The leasing ins, are they market related, as it should be, as the leasing outs should be? There shouldn't be a distinction between leasing in and leasing out if you want to make money. Chairperson, it's quite interesting, this thing of using the buildings for advertising. You said you have limited it to Gauteng, Western Cape and KZN, and one understands why you identify these provinces. How many advertising sports spaces do you have, and what is the type of money that you're in with this? And can't you expand it to the entries of port, entries into this country? Chairperson, when we listen to this kind of presentation, one becomes, you think about the vastness of this register. And I always pose this question. is this register, is it volledig? Is it done? Do you every year look at it again and again? And can it ever be done? Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Reverend.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to put the Honourable Fultani's complaint or and my comments together with it, because I think that we've spent a lot of time building a scenario that we know exists, and then when we got to the real meat of it, we rushed through it for the purposes of time. So from my point of view, look, the presentation started on page 25 only. But if I can ask you to please go to page to slide 25, that I can just ask some questions on that. Now, we spoke about the client department take-up is 93%. Can I just clarify or confirm, perhaps, that 93% is of the buildings that we have? I think, if I remember the number, that was the 90,000 buildings that Public Works has, or PMTE looks after. Sorry, I beg your pardon. There's about 90,000. Is that 93% of the buildings or of the 123,000 properties? Okay, so I presume it's only of the buildings, because otherwise the maths wouldn't work out. Then, just on that, how many properties are being hired from other sources? Okay, so are we hiring in for other departments, or are they hiring indirectly? That's my main question there. Then let's talk about the 7%. I think that, look, it's fairly obvious that even if we charge market-related rates on that 70%, and we send it out for private use, as this seems to be indicating, it's not going to fund the gap. Okay, it's never going to fund the gap. And I'm guessing that 7% as well is probably in a reasonably dilapidated state, which is why it's vacant in the first place, and probably because it's vacant, it's been degraded quite quickly. So, you know, the old story is you can't put lipstick on a pig and change it into something more attractive. You know, how much money do we need for lipstick to make those things commercially viable? Is it something that's worth actually pursuing? And that brings me to my next point, which is on slide 29, and it's just talking about user charger models. And, you know, I am respecting and not kind of casting any doubt on the qualifications and knowledge of the CFO, but what is Treasury's input into this? Because I think Treasury's advice is quite important onto this. They must know that the property portfolio of government is an asset worth protecting. They should understand that this is something that should be protected going forward and improved and enhanced. You know, now, what are they saying? Because the fact is, they're the guys that are giving budget to our user departments, and they're giving us budget as Public Works. Okay, they obviously understand that long term, the infrastructure needs to be protected. You know, surely they should also be helping us with our thinking on this. It shouldn't purely be PMTE or Public Works sitting there saying, well, you know, we need to get to a stage where user charges are funding us. Treasury needs to be on board. I'm just asking, you know, are they looking, and it's one of the things, again, that I attacked in my speech, is that, you know, our budget is pretty much business as usual and not showing a material change. I can guarantee that the budgets of most of the departments, the other departments and our user departments, are fairly similar. They're not budgeting a huge amount more to do transfer pricing to Public Works. Okay, so at what stage are our discussions with Treasury? What are their inputs? Because I don't think that it's sustainable, certainly not in the long term, for us to have this funding gap caused by insufficient user charges. You touched briefly on efficiencies as well. And, you know, taking into account the fact that we've got a huge number of vacancies in the department, it would be interesting to just hear your ideas of, excuse me, efficiencies and what's being brought in. I presume with the big vacancies that we are insourcing a lot of skills, and probably at higher expense, but I'm not going to presuppose your answer there. Then to get back onto the asset register, slide 30, it's not us that's casting doubt on the asset register. It's your own colleagues who came here last time after we were told, no, there's an asset register, and then they came and said, no, the asset register is not lacquer. So I think the doubt that you're seeing expressed from portfolio committee members is as a result of what we've been told here. It's not something that we're making up in our heads. You know, it's been stated here in committee. It's minuted. You're welcome to go back and see who said it, and maybe go and have an arm wrestling competition with them in the passages or whatever. But the fact is, we've been told the asset register is incomplete. You're telling us it's okay, but it needs to be improved. I think the consensus is that the asset register is kind of your starting point. Okay, if you don't know what you have, you don't know how to manage it. So, then I was just interested with your numbering on slide 33, with your 10 items. Because I looked at, of course, being a typical bottom line person, I looked at the bottom line, I said, how can you be saying 10, there's only 7 here? And then I looked up and I saw the numbering wasn't. Is that a priority ordering, or what's the story behind that, and so on? The other quick win that I've picked up is that some departments, some user departments, are subleasing some of their space. Some of those subleases are at commercial rates, so they're actually making almost a profit on some of their space, and it's something that perhaps could be looked at when we look at drawing up contracts going forward with user departments. I am lamenting the shortness of time spent on slides 35 to 37. I think I would have liked to have gone into that a little bit more. But I will obviously do that in my own time, following the advice of the chairperson last time I spoke about length of presentations. And then the last thing, I like some of the ideas on slide 39, and in the interests of perhaps getting some recognition for public works and PMTE, and maybe leveraging with EPWP and all of those nice things, the topic of rooftop gardens in buildings is one that is attracting a lot of media attention and so on. And I think that would be quite a nice way of just promoting the department and PMTE. It's just an idea that popped up for me while I was looking at some of your other ideas there, which I think are good. You know, a couple of solar panels on the roofs, but rooftop gardens, I think it's quite a sexy thing to look at, and certainly in areas like Tshwane, Johannesburg, etc. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rider, Honorable Manuku, Elizabeth Masiela.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let us appreciate the presentation that we got, which is comprehensive. But I didn't really get it how, in the turnaround, how you address the issue of expertise within the PMTE, because I think it's one of the issues that it has come forward for some time. And also, what is the vacancy rate within this space of the PMTE? I think the other issue that maybe is making the whole thing to be difficult, especially with property, is that when we lease our property as government, we lease it out close to nothing. whereas when we get it from other private sectors, we pay market rate. Those two things do not really tie up. That is why we have a problem. I think if we really want to be in business, we really want to come out of this problem of us not, like in where we're showing this, also that the unfunded amount is so much and so on. We have to work the whole thing like a business. Even if it is our own departments that are renting, let them pay the amount of money that will be really realistic. And in most cases, they want us even to, you rent for them, they also want the department to come back again and do maintenance. And they are not doing maintenance. And yet they are paying close to nothing. I think we must look into that one also. Yes. And then the other issue that I wanted to talk to is the issue of, I just want to say some of the things they've been, they did talk about. It's just that being a very good presentation, what is important is to implement all the things that we come up with. If we can implement these things, I'm sure that we can turn around this agency and become something different. And definitely, we need to see it turned around, as we are saying. Otherwise, we are really in a very bad space. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masuela. Honorable Dr. Kelewe Matopa.
Thanks for the presentation. I think it just connecting and leading us to the climate to work on the issue. However, Chair, I would want to check on the unit that is established and running, because when the turnaround strategy was presented before this committee, the indication was that now we are going to focus on the expertise in the PMTE, not just take the people that does not have expertise. Now, because now it's functional and it's running, are those people, does those people have relevant skills that is required in the field? Secondly, on the issue of the financial model, you know, we once have an oversight going to the small harbors, and we found that most of the lease that were there were told that it's at a minimal rate. In your financial model, have you taken that into consideration? I heard the CEO indicating that we can also negotiate to try and look at that one. Do you mean to say that in those properties where you are still, because I don't think that is also in line with the legislation, that minimal rate is supposed to be disposed long time ago. Do you have the number of those properties that are still paying minimal rate and also having the leases like 99 years? Because when we're visiting there, we're told that there are such properties for public works that are in line. When we're dealing with this financial model, did you take that into consideration around the issue of negotiating to try and be in line with the plan that you have presented, like increasing, you indicated in the client departments that you'll be increasing from 4% maybe to 8%, which we think is good. But on the private sector, I'm not hearing very well to say how are you going to deal with those leases, because as the colleague was indicating, that the rate that we are paying, that is really not a market related, you know, rate. How are you going to deal with that one? Also, because there may be an agreement, is there any escape clause in those agreements that will allow you to be in line with what you have presented and also negotiate so that you can get money in those Also around the issue of the disposal of non or high value surplus leases and the residential units. We will appreciate as a committee if when you do that, maybe you do a presentation to indicate which are those properties, where they are, so that we know exactly. Maybe when we are in the around those provinces, we can visit those properties. We'll appreciate, because we don't know also the criteria that we have used to say these properties are not needed. We are saying this, Honorable Chair, because we were once told that there are properties that are being sold, and then the department, again, after it has been sold, they also lease those properties and pay more than what we're paying. We would not want to see that as a portfolio committee, that you sold the properties and then you go and rent. Maybe the other request is that if you do have the other properties that has been sold and the department is renting, we will request that we are given that information, so that maybe sometimes we go and see those properties, because to us, we don't think it's a good thing that you dispose and then all of a sudden also you rent those properties at a higher rate. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Now, let me just join my colleagues. Like I am repeating myself on, look at the reports from the portfolio committee, respond on them. Others are from last year already, because it assists that they don't raise the same issues. But the portfolio committee also look into everything you present to them, including your mission, your vision. We look into all those. When we see a deviation without you having explained to us, we feel that the portfolio committee is not given the good respect it should be given, because we should also discuss it, you see, because some of these things need to be explained. If you change a mission and a vision, in your report we have now seen that, and we don't even have explanation why, and we don't even understand. For example, there's now a vision that now say convenient access to dignified public services. Now you're not talking about access to accommodation, so we're not sure how well thought this was, the vision the same. So maybe to take the portfolio committee along when you change these things, even on the vision, you now have the effective management of state immovable, but we effective and efficient usually goes together. So we think the if it was presented, maybe we would have commented on those issues. I think my colleagues have also indicated the issue of updating us on the areas of the vacancy rate. It's quite an issue. In South Africa, the biggest problem is unemployment and inequalities. So, and poverty. So whatever we do, we'll be happy if we always take that into, even when we dispose of properties, let's see how are we addressing the levels of inequalities, which means what we, in our oversight, we saw that big companies are given almost 1 rand to rent, not literally 1 rand, it's bigger, but the poor organization, which must be considered, are expected to pay more. And which country are you living? Because there should be a justification for a small rent for a poor or emerging companies. But you seem your focus is big guns must be treated better. The small ones, you treat them as if they are not existing. So that is worrying. You know, the government that does not
appear to understand the small, the emerging companies. So I think whatever you do, there should be that understanding that we are empowering those that were marginalized, exposed, exploited all these years. So I think my colleagues have asked the question on the filling of vacancies. But there's also this issue of the filling of post additional to the establishment instead of the vacant position as reported. So I think it also needs to be explained what is really happening. So I think we need more explanation on post and the filling of, because there are more questions, you see. So you have the PMT reported on 118 posts under engineering science related, of which 80 were filled, 38 vacant, and 7 filled additional to the establishment in the 2016-2017. So, but in the 2017-2018, there are no posts reported under this position. So all these need to be clarified, even the criteria being used by the PMT to fill these posts additional to the establishment. Those points need also to be clarified. I think they spend more time on vacancies because we really would want to understand what influenced the large increase in the overall vacancy rate. You know, like 189 positions in the 2017-2018 from 56 vacancies in 2016-2017, now to 245 in 2017. So which means need more time, more clarity on those positions. We quite, you know, anything to do with training, giving skills to whether to your employees or to upcoming is something that is appreciated, because we know in South Africa, the majority of South Africans were not exposed to skills. It was the skills were given to the minority. Now, when we see in the report there's something dealing with skills, giving some courses, we quite happy, but we need clarity so that we understand. We were quite happy to see those areas, but we also need more clarity. For example, if we can be given the progress to date on skills development program, and also the numbers on the young professionals, on management and artisan trainees, so whether they have completed their different programs, you know, all those information we need to be briefed, because it assists us when we move around, when we know what we have done. Also, the progress to date on the 400 officials being trained in the 2017 and 2018 budget. Also the budget allocated in the 2018 for this, so that we know the training, how far did it go. It must be linked to time as well, you know. It must not be like a general, you know, it's forever, whereas these are short courses. So it must be linked to time and years. So this is how far we have gone. So more info is quite important. We even, whether the issue of addressing the people that were oppressed previously, are you taking care of it? It's quite important to us. We really are happy when you talk about these critical skills, the architect, engineering, all these, the training, the artisans, quite, because South Africa needed those. So the more information we are given, the better. I think you'll find if you are not able to give now, maybe in the coming presentation, give more time on all those areas, because they are quite important. They are what the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa want us to empower those that to reverse the imbalances of the past. In whatever we do, let's be seen to be
reversing the imbalances of the past. Whatever we do, whether we're dealing with contractors, whether we do reverse the imbalances of the past. Those that were not smiling during apartheid time, they must now smile. We can't continue having the same guys who were smiling with the apartheid. They are still smiling even today. Can't do it again. My officials, are we for the people who were marginalized? Are we saving them? Or we just ignore them? No, we can't work that way. We are for the majority of South Africans. So South Africa will be better if all of us have something to now say. Of course, South Africa is better, no doubt about it. But we can do more. We can, no doubt about it. South Africa is better, but we can do more. No, thank you very much.
Chair, I'll attempt some answers, but also, you know, be assisted by my colleagues. And in trying to answer the question, it's also beginning to summarize the themes that are emerging, so that we can be able to deal them thematically rather than individually. I think the one theme is really to talk about this vehicle. What is the timeline of actually, you know, creating this vehicle, and what are the steps? The other, I think, is a big issue about when we transact with government is different from when we transact with the private sector. The issue about the leasing in and leasing out and the cost divergence between the two, and also the issues of how much are we leasing in and how much are we leasing out. The other theme, I think, is the issue about the asset register. I think it's a theme that arises all the time about where we are, the accuracy, and the extent. Then the other theme is looking at potential businesses over and above what has been discussed. The fifth theme, Chair, is the one that I think you have alluded to, is skills for capacitating the PMTE, which is a theme that has arose from previous presentations. So I'm going to attempt firstly the institutional form and the timelines. I think the question is, when is the government component going to be finally established? The minister has indicated as one of his priorities to have the PMTE fully compliant with National Treasury so that the trading entity can be signed off. But the government component, we are aiming to have all the necessary elements of a government component by November, with a view that in the next financial year we should be able to say we've got all the necessary conditions to actually establish a government component. This is how we understand the priorities of the minister, but we will formalize the timelines as and when we've concluded the discussion with the minister. I think the issue of the what constitutes non-core, and I mean there are a variety of things which constitute non-core, but I think we can provide a list of what we constitute non-core. But just to give an example, in our portfolio there is a whole number of residential properties that either we've inherited from previous government authorities, like the homelands and the self-governing states. The SEPs, the defense, also has a lot of residential properties, but some of the residential properties are now mislocated. That is, they had a base, they've moved, but they're still residential properties. Now, those are the types of what we call non-core, and how do you deal with them? Mr. Mokhoro, I think, will deal with the issue of the advertising space, and I think maybe I'll allow him and get to the other issue.
Thanks. I think the question from Honourable Member Adams was why don't you expand this to the, I think, points of entry, like policy. I think we are not limited here, Ms. Adams. I think what we started, we needed to have a start. And we thought, let's go to the cities, identify the properties that could be taken out to the market for advertising. We still have to go through the processes of, you know, determining the appetite of the market, at what rates, and that kind of thing. But we've done a calculation. I mean, this is goal per square meter, how much you charge, and that kind of thing, visibility, the topics, all of that. So we will get that as we proceed, but we believe that's a very easy way of us being able to get, you know, additional revenue and monies from the private sector. So we need to go on with the rest. Okay. Maybe I could just take a quick squeeze at the rest of the questions. I mean, the question on the leasing in and leasing out, are we market related or whatever? What we know is that in terms of what we are leasing from the private sector, we did a study of Pretoria Central 2 years or 3 years ago. And it's actually the outcome of that study was that we are paying 45% premium on our leases. And that was the study that time. And that's one of the areas that Treasury, if you recall 2-3 years ago, the Minister of Finance gave an instruction that Public Works needs to go out and renegotiate the leases so that we can identify savings. And they even gave a number, I can't just recall what the number was, that we expect to get over the MTF period. Somewhere about $1.5 billion. So that we are seized to that responsibility. Hence, we've identified it as one of those areas that we're focusing our attention on. We've been given all the necessary dispensations to start the negotiation process with the landlords. If you look at the portfolio that we are getting from the private sector, you could count 15 landlords for 80% of what we are hiring out. And the question was asked, how many are we getting from the private sector? We've got about 2,600 leases from the private sector for which you are paying the 4.3 billion rands. And if you look at the square meterage, floor space, that's plus minus about 6.2 million square meters of floor space from the private sector. So you can do the sums in terms of what you are paying to that. Which 4.3 is an annual figure, yeah. 4.3 is an annual figure of what you are paying to the private sector. Yeah. And I think the issue around the register, maybe I can just reflect a little bit on it again. The register is complete. You know, how do you determine the completeness of an asset register, of your asset list? Is you take your records and confirm your records to what you have on the floor or on the ground. Or you then go to the ground and say, do I have what's on the ground in my records? Now, the auditors have not expressed an opinion that is negative around that. So the asset register is complete. And I said, we know whether the assets do exist. They do. We know that we actually do own these assets. Yes, we own them. And the only thing, again, if I may repeat, was the issue around the calculation of what we call the deemed cost. And it's something that we'll deal with. The deemed to value. And the question of, does this asset register change every year? Of course it does change every year because you do have changes all the time. You've got what you call a vesting process. This year, assets move around, and so you've got to adjust your asset register. You transfer assets from yourself to the provinces, and there's a whole swapping of assets all around. We, as we've indicated, we're going to be giving away some land to human settlements, some land to rural development for land reform purposes, this kind of thing. So consistently you are adjusting your asset register. And in addition, you are also doing construction projects for assets that you are building. As soon as the asset is complete, it must be in the register, so you need to adjust it on an ongoing basis. I think the question around whether on slide 25, on the take-up of the clients, 93%. 93% of occupancy of our buildings relate to the occupancy of the entire portfolio. That's the 92,000 structures, Honourable Member Ryder. And the 123 properties, I'm not sure which those are. Do you know the 123? I don't know which. I would say the entire portfolio, the plus minus 92,000 structures, the occupancy is 93%, and the 7% is what's vacant. And what's vacant? We've actually even quantified in rent terms the deemed cost or deemed value of what's vacant. And and what we quantified those total assets when you work it out, the land and the properties, that's about 7.4 billion rands worth of assets that are excess. And we've quantified that. But obviously, again, do you multiply that by a factor of 3 to get to the transactional value? What is the condition of this? So that work is now happening. The point is, the good thing is, we've got a list of those that are outstanding. Now we can take the list and start to do the things that we need to do to determine what it is that we need to spend to get them to a particular level so that we can get maximum value out of them. The user charges model and our entry discussion, that's an ongoing discussion. Yes, I think we agreed. We said at the beginning, the user charges is what Treasury is allocating to client departments that we must collect from the client departments. I've indicated that currently we're collecting 4.5 billion rands. We are getting 3.8 billion rands from National Treasury, which Treasury says, I don't want to be giving it to you anymore. I want you to be getting it from the client so that then you can reflect the service of the cost of your service from the client department. So already there's an indication that Treasury wants to up the game when it comes to that. And if you take the total fiscus into account, there's about 4.8 billion rands of a gap that is there. Now it's a question of where is that going to come from, over and above what we have. In addition to the 4.8, there's another 7 billion rands for the reserve. So those are the kind of discussions that we're going to have to engage with Treasury and see to the extent to which we can leverage, I mean, a lot of private sector funding here. The state does not have a bottomless, you know, pit of money. So we're going to have to find genuine ways of going about it. When we construct new buildings, we're not going to have to do it straight out of the fiscal's pocket. We may have to partner with private sector in terms of the bottled operate model, the triple P models, so that we can then be able to do the things that we need to do. So there's a lot of engagement that is happening with Treasury in terms of dealing with these kind of things. The numbering on slide 33, yes, prioritization, you are correct. And it jumps from 3 to 7, and I think that was correct. So we just left it like that. I'm just quickly going through the same thing. I think we dealt with the market, the financial model. The financial model is going to take into account all the potential revenues, and as we've indicated, when you see Dr. Madropa, when you look at the slide that talks about the link to the scenario journey, the 10 things that we listed there, you'll see the small harbors and coastal properties as one of the things that we are focusing our attention on. And if you recall, we have established a dedicated unit in the department, in the PMTE, the small harbors unit, that is doing nothing else but how do we resolve the thing of, you know, giving out our cheap properties for nothing, 99-year leases. We've developed a framework together with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer of the leasing. So there will be a lot of things, and I think the Minister has indicated that there's going to be an investor conference that deals with this later on in the year around the coastal properties. And there's a lot of interest that we've indicated. We believe that's one of the quick things that we can do to change things around. I'm just quickly going through this.
I think expand on the issue of the discussion with National Treasury. I think National Treasury, I mean, has been a biggest instigator of this trading entity, seeing that for this entity to be able to transact, it has to be in a particular form, and that's hence the issue of the institutional form and the timelines and what then National Treasury need to approve. And I think as we go to government component as well, there has to be a lot of intensive discussion with National Treasury, because if there's going to be funding that this entity is going to do, National Treasury has to have visibility to make sure it doesn't harm the state. Hence, we talk about the institutional form. And on the issue of the, I think, the rooftop gardens, I just want to add something that we're already doing, which is rooftop solar, which we are now have appointed to the DBSA as an implementing agent and a transaction advisor to assist us, because we've got extensive rooftop. And when we can see what the market is already doing in terms of solar, we want to be in there to be able to provide this floor space for rooftop solar. The theme that we would want Chair to maybe come back to is whole theme about human capacity, skills, expertise, and so forth. We would want to come back to give you more extensive presentation on that, because it's a whole big topic that I think, as we talk about the capacitation of the PMTE, we need to be on top of. I'm also trying to see what else we are missing.
There's another question on the criteria used for the disposals of that. I think, do you want to answer? Yeah. The criteria. I think again, we've got a list there, and part of the work that you are doing is to now go back to, you know, our user asset management plans and their requirements, in addition to our own custodial asset management plans and, you know, into the future, to determine what we sell. We are not going to just be selling. We're going to really have to think hard what it is that you're selling, because you don't want to end up in that quagmire of you sell, the next day you need the same asset, you're paying five times the price. So that's not going to happen. And I think even the disposals, the question was how are you doing those disposals? I think all these things will happen within the broader framework that exists under which you operate. And those are frameworks of empowerment, ensuring that the previously disenfranchised are brought back into this thing, and that's how we're going to do this. We're not just going to be taking them out, chairs, and giving to those. No. I think there'll be fair amount of responsibility and circumspect in how we do this.
Let me just maybe add, I think, let's confirm that we will indeed look at the portfolio committee visit report, and I think make sure we respond to the issues that have been raised in that report. Just want to give that confirmation, Chair.
Thank you very much. The follow-up there.
Maybe also just adding quickly, there are specific questions that I think for the benefit of the portfolio committee, we should maybe touch on that. For instance, the issue around the vacancy rate. I'm sure it shouldn't be something that hovers at the back of your head. It's 38%. But the picture you need to appreciate is that when we finalized the organizational structure, we took the organizational structure as is, both with those positions that are funded and those that are not funded, and migrated it into the personnel salary system, the personnel system, to create staff establishment. So there will need to be a little bit of cleaning up, which might result in this 38% reducing as a result, because it consists of both funded and unfunded positions. I think that is the first point that needed to make. The total number currently of permanent appointments within PMT is around 4,018 of the total permanent appointments. And out of that is about 683 which are on contract. Two categories, those that are linked to position, vacant position, and those that the chair indicated, regarded as appointment additional to the establishment. Now, how does that arise? It arises as a result of a unit or a program not having sufficient number of positions. And by so doing, then there is program that needs to be undertaken, and there's no sufficient vacancies. And therefore, the person appointed is additional to the establishment in that sense for that specific unit. But for the total compensation budget, it's not additional, because it's a saving from elsewhere, from another unit where there might be a vacancy, and hence you make that kind of an appointment. And the past 10 months, there were appointments that were made. Out of that number, is about 1,040 positions that were advertised, both for the main vote and the PMT. Of that, 683 appointments were made. in various categories, both in core and support areas. Now, we could put a comprehensive report for you to consider, and based on that report, you can then give an indication whether you want us to further engage on that. That's the second part. The second part of it relates to the skills development program. The department has a very extensive skills development program, and even in that regard, we can also provide a very comprehensive and extensive report and submit it to the portfolio committee for its consideration. And from that point of view, you can then engage whether you need further engagement. Thank you very much.
Okay, just before, there are two hands, Mr. Reder and Doctor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this request is through you, and it's just that when the PMTE comes back with a organizational structure report that you've mentioned, it would benefit me certainly if we could have that, some sort of almost a departmental structure in terms of the breakdown of where people sit, you know, in which provinces, where do we have provincial offices, what job functions are held there, what are their responsibilities, etc., so we can get a better overview of exactly what PMTE is doing on the ground. It would benefit me, certainly, as a committee member. I'd like to request that through you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mandaba. And Panel Masera, you follow?
Chair, I think I'm covered because I wanted to say maybe when they are coming back, I'm comfortable with them coming with a comprehensive report, just to, presenting it. Also, I wanted to indicate the provinces because it's where most of the work is being done.
Yeah.
My colleague has covered me. Okay. But also around the issue of this thing of organogram, people outside the organogram, I did not hear that one very well.
Mm.
Maybe if they can repeat, because there is an organogram, what is outside organogram stuff, if maybe we can get the clarity on this, on that one.
I think it must come in writing as well.
Yes, I'm saying if they can make a clarity on that one when they bring back the report, just to cover that one, they understand.
Honorable Masera.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I wanted to talk to the asset register. It is true, it is never static. It will change from time to time. But what I wanted to check, especially here, is about updating it. Are we saying as we are now, the status is that everything has been put into the register, or we still have some of our officials who are working on still identifying other assets that are supposed to be put into the asset register? What is the status? I mean, as far as updating is concerned, but I'm aware that it will keep on changing as time goes on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe one interest of mine, you know, anything to do with schooling, that training, those that were not allowed to get mathematics, science, you know, those programs are getting to issue of radicalizing South Africa. Once you get a child from an informal settlement studying mathematics and science, you see, you are now changing. Because you find that that child in an informal settlement or in the rural, remote rural area has the mathematical mind. So now I see in your programs, you are also having a good program, that is a school's program on mathematics and physical science advancement. So I would love, I can't even wait for the comprehensive. I want just to report how do you go about doing it. Is it happening, or is it something that is coming, or is something that is already happening? So it's an important program, kakhulu for the poor people who really need support on mathematics and physical science. It's our duty as government. I'm quite happy about having that program. The other thing I also like on page 11 is the fact that you have some short courses that you are doing with the other universities. I also feel the honorable members should also be given some of these good short courses. So you must also prioritize your honorable members. For example, the introduction to property development, that's the introduction. So that at least the honorable members have the basics. So think that won't be too difficult for honorable members. Just introduction. So without really, there would be issues at property management. You know that also those matters, property management, there's no math there. So there will be things at the town planning, there will be things, property law. There would be some courses that I think would be easier for us. We are grown up. So, but those that demand too much of a maths might be difficult. But where there's no, so I was thinking if that would be possible. Talk to me about the school's program, the mathematical assistance. How do you go about doing it? And if you are not ready now, you can come back with that report, which you said you a detailed report on other, so that you not put in a corner now, so you can. Come later, but it's an important thing you are doing. But the honorable members must also be considered, so that they. But the school's program, I think you can say something on mathematics.
Maybe very briefly. We've got a skills pipeline strategy that begins from the school right up to post university, where now we place them on program, so that they can become full professional. That's the young professional program. Okay. Now, the reason why we do that is because we are seeking as public works to build our own timber, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because we've realized over the years we lose employees who are critical in those areas to the private sector. So we can't compete. So the best way is to build our own timber. But it wouldn't assist if we only begin with bursary program for universities only. Mm. We have to catch them young and assist them to develop their skills in math and science. Because that will be the foundation for whatever direction you want to take in respect of property-related qualification. Whether they be engineers, whether they be real estate investment, and so on. So in that regard then, Chair, the schools program, we identify schools across the 11 regions, which obviously are spaced across the 9 provinces. And in that sense, then, we identified those schools, we adopt the schools, then we put programs in place to improve their performance in maths and science. The aim is to persuade them to follow infrastructure or built environment skills. And therefore, once they come up with good results, we then place them on a bursary program where we take them to university, as you were reading there. That's when we continue to support them even in university, provide with the necessary support. And once they've concluded, let's say we've got engineers, civil engineers, architects, and so on, we then place them on a program within the department called the Young Professionals Program with mentors, qualified mentors, who will then assist them to acquire their professional registration as professionals. And where possible, we then also absorb them within the department. You know the budget constraints sometimes. Those are the challenges. But that's how it works, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Maybe, honorable members, if we can, because we already have a program that is tight already for various entities in the department. But because we have indicated the areas they must elaborate on vacancies, on training, on, so we can even send more questions that we didn't really ask. So if it is fine with honorable members, we may suggest that they must respond in writing, present even that organogram, everything, respond. That's tried to explain everything, but we can send some of our questions to them. I'm also advised in terms of the training that Parliament also have the program to train honorable members. So maybe we may not put you in a corner, but there's a training. But if from your side as well, it is fine, because let's hear if there's an opportunity with that partnership with the university. But we can also check both ways, check the parliament. That's the problem, is we are almost in the end of the term, but we don't know how long is the short course. Maybe it can work now, so it depends. Other processes take time, so we'll check, we'll hear from yourself, while we also look into parliamentary process, which may also indicate the problem. It depends on how short is the short course, if indeed it can take us, because we can even compromise in a week, when we are in a constituency, take a week, ourselves, we can agree on many approaches. So it's a matter of process. I think about that. Maybe, unless there's something you want to say before we get to some announcements.
I think maybe just to answer the issue about the asset register, because it was asked.
Yeah.
The big project of building asset register was started, was finished. Now, obviously, there are further enhancement of the asset register and the ecosystem around the asset register. One further enhancement, obviously, is to automate our asset register, have an information system, sound information system for the asset register. The other, of course, is as and when, I mean, when we got an audit and there's an issue that the audit raises around the asset register, obviously, we will zoom in and try and correct that. But the further enhancement is what I think Mr. Mkhoras talked about, that we now deepen our asset register in terms of going into the components. That's going to be a big work that needs to happen. So that's really the issue of the asset register. Chair, I think just to conclude by saying we thanks for the opportunity to come and present, and where we may have repeated certain things from the previous presentation is really our overzealousness to make sure that the committee works with us, because as you could see, I think the issue of the establishment of the PMTE is a big thing for the department, and I think having this full support and understanding of this committee is important. As you see, we're going to be talking to National Treasury, we're going to be talking to DPSA, so this primary stakeholder of ours, which is the Presidential Committee, should with us when we have those engagement, and I think we're hoping we are making headway. And I think on the program, I think as we talk about we're going to come here, it may be useful at some point to just to sit and agree on an annual program of how we're going to be engaging with yourselves, because there are a number of things that I think are emerging that we need to come back, and I think maybe, you know, offline we may just sit and have an annual program that says, these are the areas that we will have to engage over this year. Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I think what is usually happening, we use our program from Parliament to then insert on the, we usually use the quarterly. So, but you also are free to give a proposal so that we can also slot in. Sometimes we are tied up because even the parliamentary program changes. So when you thought you can have a meeting of the portfolio of the parliament, like today we had to request a special permission because we had already said people must come. But it's good that we must always try to meet so that there's no cry that you are changing things without taking us along. It's like we are not existing. See? So I think that is that. The suggestion I'm putting across in terms of the response, the comprehensive, the organogram, and all the answers will even give you other questions related to vacancies and all the issues to do with training. Because there were a lot of things that are not clear. Sometimes you will say, you have this number of engineers in the, and these ones will retire in 5 years' time. Now, we think that is not helpful. So when they retire in 5 years' time, now, when you then say the total you have, we don't know, including those. So I think how it is written, so but we'll maybe send you our areas of concern, that your report sometimes is not that helpful. It's not giving more info. So we are suggesting that maybe better you write, because we may not we'll have meetings arranged, but already the problem in Parliament is changing. It's taking our dates already. We're meeting with you. So so we are suggesting that before the 8th of June, we would request Guti you would have submitted the report with all the details, all the areas that you may want to cover. So we're quite happy with it. Anything we do with training, I like it. So it's just that we need more information. Small harbors, GM, it's an important project. I was happy to hear both the minister and yourself elaborating on it, because there are areas in South Africa that were only used as a labor, sending areas by the mining. They were never thought by government then for development. So there are no small harbors in those areas. So there should be a focus in those areas that were not thought for such development, because it can, a small harbor can develop a lot of employment, a lot of opportunities, even economically speaking. It is like an airport. When you create an airport, you create a lot of economic nodal points. So it's important that those that are proposed, I was looking into what you're proposing, I'm quite happy. I think it will really assist South Africa, small harbors in areas that were not considered previously. So we don't stick to Durban only. All that, those that were decided by apartheid, we remain there. So I think while we can't stop developing what is moving already, but think of others that were not there before. If I can give some announcements, honourable members, tomorrow we planned that we go to that visit and see that property we have been talking about, because it's nearby in the Kales River. It is called, we now know it is called SAPS Fourie Residence. It is called that way. We have requested that the people from the SAPS, the leadership, must also be present. We have also requested that the department must give us your handover report. What was the arrangement? When was it done? So it would also be proper when you give people properties. There should be use for utilization. If they don't utilize, what is the arrangement? Or you give, you don't care whether they use it. So there should be, when you hand over, there should be, you is handed over for utilization. And if they don't, it must come back, isn't it? So, but I don't know, you will tell us if you, when you give, you just don't mind whether they use it or not. I don't know, you must tell me. I want to know that it's good. So we said both of you must be there, and then somebody from the SPS, they must also explain what is happening. Now that for so many years, they have not been utilizing it, what is their plan B? Because the people of South Africa need answers. So we'll be there. We also getting their site as well, the portfolio, share that site, and we get whoever we can get, so that at least we begin to know what is happening. That is 9 o'clock. Honourable members will be leaving 9 o'clock. We'll request that the honourable member that want to go, honourable Madloba. This is about yourselves. So we are saying tomorrow at 9 we should be visiting there. But the members can indicate so that we know who wants to go. So that if you don't feel like going, we don't take a big vehicle when we can take a vehicle to take fewer numbers. So we request that you indicate today. The numbers who want to go, 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Then let's see what is happening there. So we request that you indicate that. There's an issue next week again. The Parliament on the 29th of May. Parliament is the program of change. Now will be in the mini plenary. So we are shifting the meeting of the portfolio on next week. So we'll be in the mini plenaries. So but the program of the schedule has changed. So there will be a plenary. We'll be in the plenary. So which means there's no portfolio. We are shifting it for next week. It's not of our own making. The IDT, the one who built the Pendule Clinic, they has a request to brief us on 12 June. So they want to meet us on 12 June. So we are scheduling that, we are rearranging so that at least we meet them, because they will be meeting with other stakeholders on the 29th. They already scheduled to meet stakeholders, so they need to an ample time to collate their report. So that is the changes I needed to request. So you must know next week, 29, will be in the plenary, and then on the 12th of June, we'll be meeting the ITT. So I think that is all. Any other announcement? So I think it's my turn to thank the Deputy Minister, who seated quietly. Yeah, it can be noisy. somebody told me over the weekend in the summit, then summit was very noisy. It's fine. I guess he's likely to have got what he wanted. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
I'm leaving it now.
Yours?
Yeah.